Hey, yo, what's going on? What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of your favorite and your the number one anime and manga podcast show on the internet, Weebcast, with your fearless leader, C-Dub, aka Chris, aka Jin Mori himself, aka the manga master, the manga guru, the analytic weeb, aka so many nicknames, you know, they're just gonna keep adding week from week to week. Trust me on that. But I hope every single one of y'all are doing a really or having a good day, good afternoon, good evening, and all that matter. I hope you guys got some snacks, got something to drink. I hope you guys are ready to chill and listen to a little bit of Weebcast on this day. And I'm just gonna do some house cleaning. Or what do you call it? I'm not sure what they call it in radio. But some house cleaning things to get in order before I get into the main story and get on to the topic. Get into the main story of what I want to talk about and do a little review as the bulk of this show. But I just want to get into some house cleaning things for right now. For a while now, I've been just doing one episode a week. Usually coming out on that Friday. And previously, for people who've been listening to the show since day one, first, I appreciate you guys. And I appreciate the people who haven't, who have just been, whether this is their first episode, second episode, or third episode, listen, wherever, however, you may be, wherever you are in the journey with me in this weeb, in this podcasting adventure, and hanging out with me on Weebcast. You guys know that in the beginning, I did two episodes a week. And recently, I've been just doing one episode a week for the last month or so. Because I thought it'd be manageable, easier to write the episodes, easier to get them out, easier to edit, promote them, give them more breathing room, and let them sit there for a week at least. Because I thought doing two episodes a week wasn't too taxing, but I did feel like it was a lot coming at everybody all at once. But I've been a little stir crazy. Been a lot of things, even with everything that's happened out in the world. There's been a lot of interesting news and a lot of cool mangas I've been reading, a lot of animes I've been watching, and I've been a lot of topics I wanted to get my teeth sunk into. So I may do two episodes again. I may go back to do two episodes a week. Maybe do it. Go back to the Tuesday and Friday thing and see how that goes. But if you guys have been liking the one episode a week, definitely just let me know. You can let me know on Twitter, which is twitter.com/JXNMORM. God damn it. Let's start over again, Chris, since C-Dub can't speak, apparently. But it's twitter.com/JXNMORI. You can hit me up on Twitter there and let me know what you guys think. If you guys have Anchor accounts and you like to leave a voice message, you can do that as well. You can do that if you have an Anchor account, you can leave a voice message, and you can let me know what you think about the show, and I can put that on the next show I record and hear your own voice and hear it be commented on by yours truly. Or you can just let me know on any other podcasting site that you guys watch, or I mean you guys listen to this, and let me know in the comments there if that application allows you to do so. But I think that's it. I think that was the only house cleaning thing I wanted to get to right now, because I want to go right into my little monologue to open up shop before. Because today, this show, I want to. The big thing is I want to celebrate the first volume dropping of Spy Family. The first volume dropped digitally not too long ago, maybe a few days. At the time of this recording, I believe it's only been hasn't been a full week yet since Spy Family has dropped on Viz Media, Shonen Jump, the official Shonen Jump reading manga app. And services, I think you can read a few of the sample chapters, the free chapters, on there right now, currently. But for today, I'm going to be going over the first volume. I'm going to give you my thoughts and details, and I'm going to give you an official Weebcast manga rating. I'm going to let you know what I think about the characters, the setting, the plot, the context, and all that juicy matter. Maybe get into a little spoiler detail. So if you don't want to, if you already read, maybe if you haven't read Spy Family, but I'll let you know when I get into some spoiler details. I'll let you know how to skip through all that, because it's a popular manga. It's rising. It's getting more and more popular. More people reading it each and every day, it seems like. the more people I talk to online. So I think it's about time we talk about it on the show officially. I've talked about it a few times on the show, but I don't think I've ever dedicated a full episode to it. And I said, and I saw that it went digitally. The first volume went digital for everybody to read. So I was like, why the hell not? I really love reading. I've been reading it for the last, I guess, a few months now. So I was like, well, let me share it to the world. Give people my thoughts on it and all that stuff. So we're going to get into that. But first, I want to get into my opening monologue on just this, the Attack on Titan and the trailer. The first trailer, actually, for the final season. Because I think a lot of people, I think I've seen a lot of positive comments about the studio, about them switching studios. And I think that I think this is a good thing. It's a good thing in the making. And I don't think this needs to be scaring anybody who's been a long time watcher of the anime since 2013. Because it's been in the rumor mill for a very, very long time now but it's finally official that Wit Studio will not be tackling Attack on Titan, the final season, the latest and the final installment in the anime adaptation of Hajime Isayama's mega super popular manga series, Attack on Titan. Instead, the final season's first trailer confirms that Studio MAPPA will be taking over production. And the significance of this simply cannot be overstated here. But this doesn't mean that the fans should be discouraged, especially if they've been enjoying Wit Studios' work for the past three seasons. This actually should be, you guys should actually be overly excited. Tackling Attack on Titan in the final season over at Studio MAPPA, as the official website confirms, actually, you can check the Studio MAPPA official website and they'll have it there, will be Hayashi Yurichiro's director. We'll have Hayashi as the director, who's done Kakuragiri, a very, very, very fun Netflix anime, original anime that's dealing with gambling, gambling school to be specific, and Dorohedoro. They have Tomohiro Kishi as the character designer, who's also done character designs in 91 Days, a very popular manga, very popular mafia mob series that you guys should definitely check out. And also done character designs as well with Hayashi on Dorohedoro. They have Daisuke Ninuma. Daisuke can't even talk today also. But Daisuke Ninuma as the animation director, who's also done Days and Banana Fish, another popular show. And Hiroshi Seko, who's going to be the composer for the final season here. Studio MAPPA, who's done Dorohedoro and Jujutsu Kaisen. Hiroyuki Sawano will be contributing to some of the music, alongside with Kota Yamamoto, who's done music for Seven Deadly Sins and Dive, to be honest. And this isn't a fairly accomplished staff roster, with, as you guys can already tell, with a lot of former Dorohedoro staffers. But some fans will no doubt, you know, even with after hearing this, we'll still have some kind of worries about the prospect of the adaptation changing hands for the final season, which is not totally unwarranted. The first Attack on Titan final season trailer should, however, help to quell any worries and fears, despite Wit Studio being involved with the series from the very beginning, taking a chance on a relatively unknown series at the time, back in 2013, MAPPA have managed to capture the ferocious energy and just the apocalyptic imagery of the final arc. It's with surprising grace and bringing the character designs to life and the general overall visual aesthetic much closer to that of the kind of the original manga. It should, however, be mentioned that some have asserted that this trailer is pre-animated. And this will make sense, given that we don't have much of a release date quite yet, so the production can't be too far along, Nevertheless, though, if this is anything close to the finished product, I think a lot of people will be satisfied. I know I will be satisfied for fucking sure. Plus, if there was ever a point in the story where it might make sense to switch studios, then this is the time. These last two arcs are much different in tone, and the content from the story up to this point will feature a lot of the conversation between characters before going into just the full scale madness at the very end. So while the first trailer of the Attack on Titan final season may stand on its own merits, the prospect of what's to come is just so that much more tantalizing. I just had a little thoughts while I was kind of preparing for this, for the talking about the Studio MAPPA taking over for the taking off the adaptation from Wit Studio and kind of going into ushering in this final arc for the anime. Because I should say, I mentioned in just a few minutes ago that the Doro Heduro kind of staffers, a lot of them at least, a lot of the big names who made that anime so exciting, which you guys haven't watched. If you guys haven't seen any of Doro Heduro, you guys should definitely check that motherfucking manga out, or the anime. I think it's just a set of people who've seen Doro Heduro and seen some of MAPPA's other works, which they haven't done a lot of series. I think they've done less than 30. Not to say that they're green and, you know, there's some greenhorns of any of the sort, but, and trust me, they've done some pretty decently sized projects before. They're going to be doing the God of High School anime adaptation, which I've talked about in episode about a month ago, talking about God of High School and kind of like the Mon was breaking out, becoming the new big three. So you guys check out that episode. But I think this is big. I think this is actually big. I think the people at Doro Heduro are going to excite people with the grittiness that the manga brings, that brought to us almost monthly. He brought us monthly. I think they're going to implement that really well in the anime. I've probably seen the trailer 100 times right now, replaying it over and over and over again. And I'm actually really convinced that this actually might be a suitable send-off for the series and a suitable closure for the final two arcs. And I think this is going to leave more people, just going to leave a lot of people happy. Because, people who've been following closely Attack on Titan, I think this is probably for another episode down the line, surely, but I do think Attack on Titan changed shonen in the last decade, in almost a full decade. Longer than a decade, actually. For about this decade, you can make an argument that Attack on Titan changed shonen, the shonen seinen mix style for manga. They've changed the game. Since 2013, their manga volume sales, since they've debuted, dipped below, I think, 11th in overall sales of the year. Or 7th, one of the two. I think they've never dipped below 7th or 11th place in manga sales. And at its peak, they were doing better numbers than One Piece. I think this was the 2013 to 2015 years, 2013, 2014, 2015, where they were consistently in the third, second, fourth place. They were doing numbers, and they still to this day, still to this year, it's still doing pretty incredible numbers for a manga that's been, for an anime that's been almost out of sight, out of mind for a little bit for a lot of people. Avid watchers of the show and avid people who've been reading the manga since never, you know, if you ask them, they'll never say that. But even them, they would admit that since the anime, I guess it's been almost a year now since the second part of the third season premiered. I think that was, what, last April? It was something I saw. I think it was April of 2019. You know, when it was kind of an out of sight, out of mind kind of deal here, where people were just, little less eyes were on it. A lot of people weren't talking about it, but, you know, money does a lot of talking. And I've been watching carefully. I watch carefully the Japanese anime TV rankings, and I listen and I track the mangas, you know, where manga's being sold heavily in different countries, digitally, in prints and all that such. And Attack on Titan, still, you can still find them in the top 10. Usually. You'll usually find them in the top 10, if not the top 7. But the thing is, and that's a whole nother thing. With Demon Slayer taking up a lot of the headlines, rightfully so, taking up the top spots for the last 2 years now, beating out One Piece, beating out a lot of very good series, in sales at least. A lot of people don't pay attention to some of the out of the top 5 spots, where some other really, really good pieces of work, such as Attack on Titan, kind of reside in that top 10 of sales. But and it's not always to put the two, and I don't want to put too much emphasis on Attack on Titan selling, so, you know, selling for almost over a decade now consistently. But it's definitely a piece to the pie of a manga success, of a series success. And I think there's a lot to that, but like I said, I think Attack on Titan has changed the game for shonen. I don't think people have realized that quite yet. I think it'll take several years after its ending until for people to truly recognize and truly honor and understand what Hajime Isayama's Attack on Titan's work has done for the medium and has done for the genre. So, but like I said, I don't want to go too deep into that, because I think that's worth its own all episode. I just want to talk about Attack on Titan, its final season, and that I think that having its work being passed on to MAPPA, Studio MAPPA, they're going to do a bang up job, and I don't think anybody's going to have a problem with it, especially after that trailer. Because I think it does reveal some of the grittiness that the manga's been doing for several years now, and putting that on the TV screens, you know, for people to stream and all that stuff, is going to look absolutely beautiful. And I think the Dodo Head Dodo staffers are going to do a great job. Because if you've seen Dodo Head Dodo with its violence and gore and its witty nature, I think it's I think it's going to be done really well. But like I said, this is not an Attack on Titan kind of episode, so I do apologize for that. But look. Right after this, we're going to hit a little music. We're going to hit a little of a break. And then I'm going to get into the meat of this Weebcast episode today. Because I'm going to be talking all about Spy Family. A manga that you guys need to be reading before it gets animated. It's going to get animated. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've been saying this for a few months now. I've been saying it on this show a lot. I talk a lot about Spy Family. I don't know why, but I do. But before that gets animated, you guys need to read on Spy Family. And I'm going to tell you all about it, why. I'm going to review the first volume right after this little ad break and all that stuff. I'm going to go through the characters, the plot, the context, what I think about it. We're going to give a nice little Weebcast score. It already has my stamp of approval. It's already an official Weebcast recommendation. You guys need to be reading it. But after this episode, after listening to this, I know damn well you're gonna want to read. You're going to want to go to and pick up Spy Family at the bookstore, or read it online, or read it on the Shonen Jump manga app. Because I think they're doing some free chapters right now for Spy Family. But, you know, I'll get on to that in a little bit right after this. Keep sticking with Weebcast, which feels little C-dub. And wherever you may be listening to this podcast, make sure you guys like it and rate it wherever you can. And also consider becoming a supporter. You can do that right on the Anchor app. You don't even need the app. I'm sorry. You can just go to my Twitter page, hit the Anchor, hit support, and donate what you can. Anything is appreciated. And also share the podcast with your friends and family who like to listen to about Japanese animation, Japanese comics, and like to hear me rant and rave about some of my favorite things and maybe piss a few people off about some of their favorite shows. But this is C-Dub, and he'll be back in just a few moments. Heyo, it's Weebcast Radio. What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Weebcast. A few months ago, I did my little piece on just what I think about Attack on Titan and why I think it's actually a good thing, why Studio MAPPA is going to be taking over the leadership and production and animating the last season. But the real treat to this, and what I'm really actually really excited for to do, is just talk to you about, straight up, about Tatsuya Endo's spy family. Tatsuya Endo's spy family has been one of my favorite things to read over the last about 4 or 5 months now. And then now that the first volume has been finally published, just I think it was officially on June 2nd. Right now, if you maybe listen to this, it's probably been about over a week since that then. But it's officially being published by Viz Media. And before it was just digitally on the Shonen Jump, I believe. But I just want to get into it. Spy Family. I'm so happy I get to talk to you about Spy Family, because I love gushing about this. But Spy Family is a manga from Tatsuya Endo, who's also done Gekkabijin, Rengoku no Ash, and Tista. Spy Family brings a slice of life, action, comedy, and a splash of sci-fi into an entertaining and just funny, lavishly written manga series. The series follows a spy formerly known as Twilight, and he's kind of asked to investigate a government official who is looking to bring two nations to war. And being a man of a thousand faces who has cast his personal emotions aside, Twilight must become Lloyd Forger, a married man with a child, in order to complete this mission. Twilight starts visiting an orphanage and securing a six-year-old girl named Anya, who just happens to have the ability to read people's thoughts. And thanks to that ability, Anya is very much more smarter than your average child and becomes the perfect choice for Twilight. The only thing is that Twilight has no idea that she's telepathic. Part of the mission involves Anya getting admitted to Eden Academy, a school for the elite of the elite of the elite. After barely passing the written exam, they asked to meet both parents of the child, with no exceptions. But this meant that Twilight needed a wife, and he conveniently runs into Yor. I'm not sure how that's pronounced, but it's Y-O-R. Yor, an assassin who's desperate in need of a temporary boyfriend in order to prove that, you know, she's not single at her age to her family. And after forming a pact with Twilight, they, you know, pretend to be her boyfriend in exchange for Yor pretending to be Anya's mother, you know, for the admission interview. We have ourselves a nice little family who know nothing about one another's true identities, except for Anya, since she's a telepath, and she's keeping this secret all to herself all too well. The result is a serious yet hilarious comedy with a great story and amazing characters. I want to go right into the characters next. With Twilight, and Twilight has been on hundreds of spy missions, you know, each one being carried out with extreme professionalism, you know, infiltrating governments and order to stop terrible wars is nothing. It's just another day at the job for somebody like him. When he becomes attached to Yor and Anya, things kind of take up a different perspective for him, you know, and he's just no longer thinking about the mission at hand. And there's even cracks in his armor when he realizes that, you know, he's not acting like the spy he normally is. While he's seemed hardened and a man who cares nothing more for his job at first, he shows a lot of human qualities, you know, all while being, you know, self-aware that he's doing so, you know. it makes for a really great main character. But I will be honest with you, the real star of this manga is so far, at least, you know, just the first one, I might have to be Anya. You know, Anya is just absolutely adorable and amazing all at the same time. She can read anyone's minds, but still possesses the mentality of a six-year-old kid. You know, while she's very aware of the world around her, she likes to eat yummy things and plays daddy's spy radio, which alerts enemies to his location, you know, thus putting his mission in complete and just total jeopardy. You know, she enjoys playing tag with complete strangers and playing with her new pretend mommy's poisoned knives. Like I said, just cute little things any six-year-old would like to do, you know what I'm saying? So seriously, some of her reactions to Twilight and Yor's thoughts are freaking priceless, especially the scene where Yor wants to like hold her hand. Anya really commands your attention whenever she's on page, and it's probably the best part about this manga so far. Yor, on the other hand, has a kind of a dual personality. In her normal mode, she's kind of clumsy, absent-minded woman who should have a boyfriend by now but is hopelessly single. In her other mode, as I put in extreme quotations, she's kind of highly trained and a deadly assassin who is obviously just putting on an act to not to draw suspicion to her actual trade. She becomes a bit more normalized when she agrees to be Anya's pretend mother, but there's still some instances where her assassin skills come out. It's okay though, because she learned all of them in yoga class. She swears by it. The manga is really a delightful surprise so far. The volume starts off in this serious tone, kind of luring you in a false sense of security. It makes you believe that you're going to be following the life of a masterful spy, witness his death-defying adventures, and you see those adventures on a volume-by-volume basis. And then all of a sudden, you hit by this jarring experience with Anya and realizing that she's telepathic. And at this point, you're kind of realizing that the manga isn't as serious as it kind of lets on itself to be. But then things even take a more comical turn with the most hilarious assassin you'll ever meet, Yor. The recipe works super well. And the result is nothing more but just pure, unadulterated entertainment. The characters are well fleshed out, have great personalities, and play off each other so well. The cohesion between the three of them is among some of the best I've read in a manga series, and I've read a lot of manga in my time. My only complaint with the first volume of Spy Family is that it had to eventually end at some point. I was truly enjoying every single page, and I felt that, and what I mean by every single page, I mean that, because I'm pretty sure if I look back at my manga app, which you can read on Viz Media or Shonen Jump, my official manga, it has 213 pages. And they flew by. I was just upset that I read it so fast when I reread it the other time before doing this video. It's podcast. Oh my God, I'm not doing a video, Chris. Come on, get your head in the game. But, you know, I was truly enjoying every page. And I feel like that this series is something that you guys should definitely be checking out. Like I said, the Tatsuya Endo does the story and the art. I think they have Casey Lowe doing the translation for Viz Media and the lettering by Rina Mappa. It makes you ask questions that you didn't think you would ask. You know, what happens when a family is composed of a super spy, a woman assassin, and a tiny psychic child? It's a question that no one thought would ask, but reading this is like, man, this works. It's like butter and toast, peanut butter and jelly, chicken and waffles. It's not a question no one initially asked, but Tatsuya Endo provides something intriguing answers in this current series, Spy Family. And what appears to be an alternate Cold War European past, the spy known as Twilight is given this new assignment, you know, and he has to infiltrate this elite school and get the goods on his most recent subject. He's got to acquire, you know, get the wife and the child, Anya and Yor, people he would normally consider liabilities in his line of work. But he takes the mantle of Lloyd Forger, adopts a petite little child, Anya, from a disreputable orphanage, by the way, who can't seem to get rid of her. But unbeknownst to Lloyd, you know, Anya is the former subject of the this government experimentation. Test subject 007, which obviously is probably a homage to another spy series, as, you know, 007, James Bond. Leaving her with the psychic abilities that enable her to know his secret and modulate her behavior to gain his approval. There's this part where, like, I think he's, like, trying to find, say, nice things to, like, you know, just to get the child to, you know, so he can adopt her. He's, like, talking about wanting to understand her, talking about world peace. And she just kind of, like, looks up flabbergasted, like, what is this spy talking about? And she just kind of says, oh, I like peanuts, I like carrots. And then Twilight just looks back at her, just stares down. Okay. All right. But with the child acquired, you know, and Lloyd is forced to find a wife, because, you know, like I was saying, that the prestigious Eden Academy won't accept children who interview without having both parents present. And thus, you know, the readers we get into Yor, which I forgot to bring up her code name, which is Thorn Princess. But unbeknownst to Lloyd, upon meeting Yor by chance, Yor's an efficient assassin. And like I said, her awkward attitude really kind of brings her character, it's just a nice final piece to to Anya and Twilight, to be honest. And the best thing about it is, like, I love how little Anya knows their occupations. Twilight and Yor, they have no idea about their jobs. You know, Lior doesn't know about Twilight's being a spy, and then Twilight doesn't know that Yor's a serious assassin. You got a 6-year-old here knowing all the information. And they don't know Anya's this, you know, psychic kid. But which makes it sweet, or this has some good comedy, the sweet part into it, like the slice of life, is that little Anya, you know, she knows all this, but decides not to say anything, you know, which sounds selfish on the surface. But her goal is just to keep, you know, she enjoys Yor and Twilight, even though they're pretending. And even if she knows that they have their motives for doing this pretend family, she wants to keep them intact. Like, her goal is to keep her new parents together and live a normal, happy life with them, which I think is really funny. Spy Family does an excellent job of balancing the fun espionage action with heartwarming family moments, and with just Anya's little, you know, her innocent love, you know, tying the strange trio together. Though Lloyd is initially annoyed with having to care for a child, her devotion to him reminds him that he became a spy to make the world safer, you know, and so that no ever child would have to cry. His job may be, you know, duplicitous, but his reasonings for taking it on are just pure. Yor, you know, for her athleticism, her martial skill is oh my god. Yor, for, you know, all her athleticism and marital skill, is a bit of a ditz, and her violent job belies an otherwise gentle personality, you know. And Anya is far and away, you know, the star, like I said, far and far the star of the series. Her status as the only family member completely abreast of the situation made more precarious by the fact that she's only about, I think, 4 to 6, I can't remember if they said 4 years old or 6 years old, and a spy fanatic to boot. I forgot to mention that she loves the idea of the motif of a spy. There's a fair amount of the touchy-feely subplot. You know, the equal emphasis on being a comedy of deception prevents the series of coming off as overly saccharine, you know. And Endo's artwork is really clean and appealing, to be honest. You know, his parody of the post-war Berlin is easily recognizable. Anya's big-eyed baby face lends itself to a lot of the more entertaining and extreme expressions, adding both to the hilarity and the sweetness of the story being combined here. Even the references to the Cold War, with Twilight's missions revolving around the East and the West, Berlin, are a satisfying nod to this the spy genre and the spy fiction. The comedy is on par with of other much older Cold War centric series, from Erotica with Love, albeit without the hormone romanticism kind of stuff. But for those who remember its ill-fated English publication, we're not getting that today. But like I said, it's getting an official print treatment starting, you know, on June 2nd. It's been about over a week by now, I guess, by the time of this recording, or when you'll be listening to this. But it's getting, by Viz Media, it's going to be officially printing this. But you can get a free sample, like I said, on the first few chapters on the Shonen Jump reading app. I've already talked about the family, talked about some of the characters, kind of the dynamic here. I'm trying to see if I'm missing anything that I want to add to it, to be honest. I guess I could talk about that a little bit, that the dynamic a little bit more. About how the dynamic is really only held due to how oblivious they are to each other's true nature. You know, save for Anna, who knows all but pretends to know nothing. She understandably, like any of us, you know, if we were in her position, would find having a spy father and an assassin mom pretty fucking cool. Though Lloyd was kind of hesitant at first of having a family, fake or not, believes him kind of as a liability. I love how we get to see him warm up a little bit to it. We get a glimpse of how sweet they are as a family with some heartwarming moments. But we also see the strong dynamic as a family with their many talents when we see them intercepting a thief and stealing the handbag of an elderly woman. You know, Yor leaps off a tall building to pursue the thief, but ultimately loses him, only for Anna to use her telepathy to read the thoughts of people around her to locate him. And that's when Lloyd jumps down the building, landing on the perp, making him eat the pavement, which is both ridiculously hilarious and pretty fucking cool. You know, some of my final thoughts on it, though, I will say, Spy Family does a super amazing job of proving that a family can be formed no matter what. And as long as it's with the people you care about, we see an unlikely group of individuals with similar, albeit mysterious past, kind of come together to form an amazing, adorable family. It also fits well with the hilarious hijinks and the goofy characters that keep the reader laughing until the end of the volume. Like I said, Spy Family is an excellent manga with an incredible start, seeing that this is just the first volume. I can't wait to read more and see how Tatsuya Endo fleshes out these characters and kind of witness more of their interactions. Luckily, you can enjoy Spy Family as the first volume is out now on Viz Media website, and a free sample on the Shonen Jump as well. Tatsuya Endo does a fantastic job with Spy Family and creating a manga that's beloved by many so far. It introduced readers to an intriguing setting, interesting characters, outrageous humor, and adorable moments. To break it down just a little bit further, the only con, I guess I just went over the pros with it's being really, it's got a premise I've never seen before. The characters are really engaging and interesting so far. The comedy has been on point. On point throughout the entire first volume, and it's wholesome and adorable. The only con, and I hope we get to see this in later volumes, but there's not enough action sequences. If I had to pick a con about the first volume and about the series so far, I don't think there's enough action in it. There's some spurts, like I was talking about, where the family has to work together unknowingly or kind of help each other and catch, you know, a purse stealer and things like that. But there could have been more instances of that, even if with Solo, maybe we get to see some cool action sequences, maybe with just Anya and Yor, or Yor and Twilight, and Twilight and Anna, and see some cool and kind of see some action there. I think that was probably the only takeaway I have for this. But even then, it's a kind of a small gripe, and I'm and it only kind of takes a point or two away from it. So if I had to give this an official Weebcast score, I hope you guys are listening at home, I'm going to have to give this first volume an 8.3. Let's give it an 8. I'm feeling a light to medium 8 out of 10 for the first volume of Spy Family. You guys definitely pick it up, read it on Viz Media. Check out the free chapters on Shonen Jump. Or I think you could buy it in print. I'm pretty, like I said, it should be in print by the now, especially that I think I saw it on Amazon. You could buy the physical copy on Amazon for about $10. If you have a Comixology account, where I read my American comics, Marvel comics and DC comics and Image comics, you should get it, I think, digitally for about $7. And I think Kindle should be around the same price for $7 as well. If you guys are interested in that. But thank you for letting me just ramble on and talk about the first volume of Spy Family, because it's been one of the cooler things I've been reading this past half year so far, about 4 or 5 months now. And it's definitely something that more people needs to be jumping on, because I think it's gonna get an animation within the next year or two, because it deserves one, along with Chainsaw Man and, you know, the Comey book, which I probably need to talk about too. I need to talk about a lot of books, to be honest. A lot of different mangas I believe is going to be animated pretty damn soon. But for Spy Family, I think this could easily work well as maybe a few part movie, you know, depending where the series kind of is going to be taken off. But it's definitely the first volume is enough for at least 12, 13 episodes, I'd say. And if you want to stretch it out, maybe 20. But that's just me. I'm not a director. I'm not really good at that kind of sort of thing. But I guess it's somehow we're going to see this animated. We're going to see this animated. I'd bet my bottom dollar on it. And look, you know, I've talked about it on the show before. Impress your friends about it. Tell them about this manga. Tell them about some of the other mangas I've reviewed and talked about on the show before. Impress your friends about all this cool anime and manga knowledge that you get. And you don't even have to credit me on it, man. You don't even have to credit me. It's fine. Just let them know. Just say you got sources. You know your sources, Weebcast. But don't, you know, let them know about the show. But, you know, if you want to seem cool, you want to seem in the know, then you want to come to this podcast. You want to come to the number one anime and manga show on the internet, Weebcast, where you can find this on Google Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever you may be listening to this podcast. Hope you guys it'd be so great if you guys can just rate it, review it, subscribe, write a nice review, tell us about what I'm doing, tell me what I'm doing wrong, tell me what you want to see, give me as much feedback as you see fit, rate it how you see fit, and subscribe if you think to the podcast, or follow, subscribe to the podcast if you think I'm entertaining enough for you and to take up some of your time. Also, I like to, you know, let you guys know that sharing the podcast does a lot of great things for me. I do appreciate it for you just spreading the podcast and listening to the podcast. And if you feel even generous, even in these times, if you know you're not forced to, but if you're feeling generous, you can also donate to the show and donate to myself right through Anchor. You can go on my Twitter account, like I said, twitter.com/jxnmori. I'll put it, it's in the description here. You can find me. I was on Reddit, but if you go to my Twitter account, hit the link in my bio, the anchor.fm/weebcast. You can hit support and then donate what you can and what you see fit. That would be very much appreciated. And becoming a Weebcast supporter would make my heart sing. I shout you on the podcast. I'll do whatever I need to thank you, because that'd be just fucking incredible. But I still love every single one of you guys. Thank you for allowing my voice into your ears, into your homes. Hope you guys enjoyed my little review on Volume 1 of Spy Family. Hope you enjoyed my little rant on on just the Attack on Titan and why I think Studio MAPPA taking over the production is a good thing and should quell some of the fears and worries that people may have for the show going forward into the final season. But thank you. Thank you for listening to the podcast. This is your Freedom's Leader, C-Dub, signing off. Make sure you guys hit up, stand up, and hit that Weebcast salute for you. For all you weebs out there, be very much appreciated. All right, boy. I'm Audi 3000. See ya.